Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Intentionally Inspirational Podcast. This is episode number 197, and I'm your host, Jason Wright. In today's episode, we have the pleasure of talking with Bo Crable of BoCrable.com, where he sells a variety of education and information products around mastering the art of selling on Amazon. Before we get into today's episode, though, let me quickly tell you about today's sponsor. Have you ever sought out ongoing help for your ActiveCampaign account without a lot of success? I'm going to tell you why this is. The truth is that most agencies aren't as well-versed as they say they are when it comes to digital marketing strategy and architecture within ActiveCampaign. To check out a new kind of ActiveCampaign-specific agency without the contract and without the huge monthly fee, I encourage you to go to explorertheagency.com to learn more today. And I feel pretty strongly that you'll be glad you did. Now let's get into today's podcast with my awesome guest, Bo Crable. What's happening, everybody? Jason right here. I've got another awesome guest with me this week. This week I've got Bo Crable. Let me tell you what I know about him. He's a master Amazon seller, doing hundreds of thousands per month. Real e-commerce expert there. He's a speaker. He's an influencer as well, excuse me. And he's the youngest person to receive a 2 Comma Club award from ClickFunnels. If you guys don't remember what that is, it's doing at least $1 million in a single funnel. Welcome to the show, Bo.
Hey, thanks for having me. So definitely excited for this interview. But yeah, thank you so much for having me.
No problem at all. So I know a bit about your journey, but for people watching and listening, share that with us. All the way back to the dyed socks up to current day.
Yeah. So I definitely been fortunate enough to, I guess, start entrepreneurship or side hustle is what you want to call it at a pretty young age. The first, I would say, real side hustle that I did, that actually, you know, got me really excited for a lot of things, is I was in middle school and there was all these like Nike Elite socks that all these cool kids were wearing and they were like really overpriced. They're like $12. But Nike came out with like a few different colors and they just had like a stripe on the back. And I actually would go up to classmates at school and like ask them like, hey, do you want these like customized? Like, I can get you like pink ones or red ones or, you know, rainbow, whatever you want to call it, whatever color you guys want, just let me know. So I would take orders from people. I would then get the socks. I would go to Joann's to get like coloring dye. I'd have an entire process for it and then sell them for twice as much. That worked out. I was making a couple $100 and I was like, all right, this is fun. And until the principals at school like kind of called me and said, Bo, you know, can't be collecting money on school grounds. It's a public school. I was like, all right. And then at this time, I was definitely very lucky that I actually had a father who was like doing a bunch of different weird businesses that went up and down, but he was always kind of like dabbling on eBay. So I knew how to like make a listing on eBay just because I know my father would like show me how to do that. So I was like, you know what? If all the classmates at my school like these socks, there's got to be tens of thousands of other middle schoolers out there online. So let me just throw these up on eBay. And lucky enough, I had no idea. Like they just skyrocketed. I was doing like $2,000, $3,000 a month off of these socks. I'm like, all right, there's money to be made on this eBay thing. We're selling products online. So from that point, that's kind of where the light bulb went off. I was like, there's money to be made online, and just started to dive into a bunch of different, you know, models and business models and e-commerce platforms. And yeah, that's how I kind of all got started.
Very nice, man. Kind of throughout the journey from then to now, have you ever had like a moment where you're like, oh crap, this ain't going to work out? Have you ever had that real intense fear of failure?
Actually, no. I think that's been one of my strong suits is that like I've just never been really fearful at all. I know I see people talk about it all the time, and I think that's just one thing I've been extremely like, you know, good at and trade them. But yeah, I actually never really have.
Nice. Very nice. So talk to me a bit about committing to success, you know, what that means to people, you know, what it should mean and what, you know, where most people kind of stop with that, I guess.
Yeah. So, cause I see definitely a lot of people, especially getting into the e-commerce space, it's almost like, they're thinking it's a side hustle. So they're going to put like, you know, partial effort into everything. And I definitely went to like a fork in the road into like kind of pursuing my business or not pursuing my business because You know, in middle school, I was dabbling around and it was more a little bit of a hobby. I was trying to do things on Craigslist and flipping a bunch of items from garage sales, and it worked out, but it was more of a hobby. And then I started to do more, started buying things from China and selling for more. But then I got into high school and actually became a pretty competitive athlete for cross country and track. And I kind of had a huge passion for that. And I was running up to like 60, 70, 80 miles a week. And that was kind of like my main focus. That was all what I was committed to. I put my business to the side and I wasn't really, you know, doing much with my business until 1 week before like my senior year, I actually get injured for a cross country. So now I go from running 80 miles a week where every single minute of the day I'm thinking about running and, you know, getting a few seconds faster. And now I'm like, well, now I'm injured. The doctor's practically telling me like, I'm gonna be out for an entire year. I'm like, all right, I have no idea what else to do. Kind of was depressed a little bit. And I was like, well, what else am I going to do? And I remember actually, I had a couple orders coming in because it was still a little bit on the side. I remember actually driving to the post office and like shipping out a couple packages. I was like, oh crap, this is the only other thing that I'm good at. So from there, I was like, all right, you know, this whole running thing and track may not work out as I want it to be, but I'm just going to be fully committed to just running my business right now. I definitely got rid of a lot of friends, was not spending any time on social media. School was, I definitely put school to a secondary effort. I was a senior, so I was like already, you know, going to go to schools and things like that. But yeah, I think it's definitely important that I remember I read the book, Laws of Success by Napoleon Hill. And the biggest thing I got out of it was like, you have to just take concentrated effort towards one thing and just absolutely crush it and try not to like have so many distractions going on. So I think that's, you know, a huge part to success is really being focused on the one thing at one time. But
yeah, I see with e-commerce especially, sometimes people talk about it who are getting into it like it's this magic bullet and all they have to do is open a Shopify store and then they're going to be rich the next day. But like you say, what people will complain about is like, I don't really want to put in the work. And I'm like, there's no secret to success. Like, you can't not put in effort and expect good things to happen. Do you see a lot of that in, as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge because there's definitely a lot of, I don't call it gurus or marketers and things like that. They're mostly just marketers. They're not actually running like a business that they're like, oh yeah, you know, it's easy. You just press a couple buttons, you pay Facebook a few dollars in ads and just a bunch of money comes out, which I don't think it could be more further from the truth of e-commerce, because like there's a lot of people trying to start Shopify stores, a lot of people trying to start like selling Amazon on this stuff. And like when you have like literally on Amazon, there's 1 million Amazon sellers on the platform. And like, I bet a very small percentage are actually doing well. And like the sellers that are like putting in crazy amounts of work, who have big teams, have a bunch of employees and everything like that, it's like, it's a real business. So it's like, if you don't put real effort into it, you're just going to, you know, probably lose more money than you even imagine. So.
Yep. How has your business fared with these times here recently? Has it taken a dip? Has it actually gone up? I'm just kind of curious. And I don't even know what you sell, but.
Yeah. So actually most of my sales are video games. So
okay,
definitely got lucky with the coronavirus that a lot of people are indoors. Yeah. And like, we've definitely seen a spike in demand, and also because of the fact, like a lot of our suppliers or a lot of products like originate from like Asia, like Japan and China. Like I sell a lot of Nintendo video games and things like that. So like, first off, Nintendo is out of business for the first 2 weeks in January, just because they do that every single year. And so anyway, long story short, there was like a lot less supply out there. So prices went up a little bit on Amazon, and then, you know, volume went up. So definitely got pretty lucky with that. The only issue is that Amazon themselves, there's the only merchant account in the entire world that like slows down your payments just a crazy amount. So they actually, because how Amazon works with a lot of accounts, like you don't get paid until the product gets delivered to the customer, and then after a few days after that. So their shipping times were really slowed. So like a bunch of sales were coming in, but then their payouts were like kind of stretched out a little bit. But besides that, like, yeah, volume went up, and it's definitely fortunate for that.
Very cool. Yeah, my son is into retro games and everything. And I'm a child of the 80s, so Nintendo's what I grew up with. I think at 84, I got my first one. And he was just telling me today, we have a big neighborhood garage sale tomorrow. He's like, if I can find the Nintendo 64, I'll have everything Nintendo's ever made. He kind of collects and he kind of plays. He has a ridiculous amount of stuff, but he likes to collect it even more than he plays it. But with the Nintendo stuff, I was like, yeah, I'll throw money into that because it's cool for me to get some of the games that I never got and things like that. So I think that market you're in will always be good, honestly.
So. Oh, yeah, because there's so many different generations for it. And, like, I mean, some people are literally actually addicted to video games. It's good that he collects them more.
Yeah.
Plays. Like, I would be the first one to say that video games are not the most productive thing. But and the thing is, like, a lot of people say, oh, well, I mean, video games are going to move to digital and things like that. Well, you can actually buy digital codes of video games at wholesale, and we do that. So it's, like, anyway.
Very cool. All right. So when we talk, I talked about this a little bit, but hearing from you, where do most people go wrong with e-commerce? Like if somebody wants to sell on Amazon or Shopify or anything like that, what are the big mistakes that you see people make, the rookies?
Yeah, I see a lot of people try to catch on to trends.
Yep.
There's a lady who emailed me the other day that is wanting to now, just now in May, start to on Amazon sell a coronavirus related product. It's like a UV light thing that kills a bunch of like, you know, germs and things like that. And there's already like 200 of the listings already on Amazon. And I don't know. I feel like with a lot of people who want to sell on Amazon or e-commerce, they almost just try to be a bunch of like opportunists that are like, oh, let me catch on to this trend and things like that, because they see that fidget spinners blew up. And a lot of that can work. I mean, I obviously kind of started my, I guess, career off that a little bit, that I kind of took advantage of the trend of Nike Elite socks. And then I took up on a trend of kendamas, which were like these Japanese yo-yo toys that blew up. And now, I mean, they're still a little in demand. So I think that's one issue, is that people just think that starting business because they watch Shark Tank or they watch all the things, that they think you have to create a really amazing, new, unique product. Yep. However, like the amount of products that are already out there in the market, like what I focus on is I focus on what's already selling. And I try to just go buy those at wholesale of like big name brand products. So like, I'm not saying you have to go sell name brand products, but like, and even if you're going to go create your own brand, if you look at a lot of like really solid brands, it's just like, they try to see what's already working and just improve upon it, instead of like saying, oh, let me just try to throw a product into the market. So I think that's one of the biggest, like, you know, overview things that people run into issues, that they're trying to like put something into the market when they should just try to see how they can improve the market.
Yep. Makes sense. So if anybody watching or listening is interested in selling on Amazon now, what do they need to know?
Yeah, so what they would need to know is kind of decide which route they want to go into. Really, I would say selling on Amazon specifically, there's like two ways to really build a business. There's either creating up your own brand or selling popular name brand products. Both can be fine. I would say the route of selling like name brand products, I mean, that's what I do. It's definitely lower margins, but I would say it's a little more consistent and more of like a, should be a little more seen like as investing, that, okay, you got X amount of dollars to start with. These products are already selling. They're already on Amazon. You got to find them at the right price. If someone, I would say, has a little bit of more of a background with marketing, advertising, has maybe a little more budget to spend into ads and get a little more creative, I would say definitely creating up your own product could be a good way to go. But that'd be the first thing. And then after that is really just kind of educate yourself on how the Amazon platform even works. Because unlike creating up your own website and like selling on Shopify or ClickFunnels and things like that, is you are at the end of the day on Amazon's platform. So if you're, let's say you're running a Shopify site and you forgot to respond to a customer, or like a product that shipped out 2 days late, Shopify is not going to go take down your site because it's your site. But Amazon, if you're a beginner seller, you set up an account, and if you start to make a bunch of mistakes because you don't know how the platform works, or you don't know how Amazon want to like how they want their platform to operate, they could just kick you off right away. So I would say, yeah, definitely pick the business model, educate yourself quite a bit, and that would be kind of the best, you know, starting points.
Well, so when I think about when I came up with this stuff, eBay was the big platform. And I remember my mom telling me about it, and she was like, I think this thing might be big, like before it was. Is eBay still relevant today? Does it still have value according to, you know?
Yes, I would say eBay is actually quite underrated. It's actually kind of funny from a marketing aspect, but is until, I think it was about a year ago or 2 years ago, the search term how to sell on eBay and how to sell on Amazon, Amazon just surpassed just 2 years ago. So it used to be more people were looking into eBay actually, but eBay, there's a lot less sellers. It's interesting because eBay's always trying to change up their platform. Like obviously if you're selling used things or collectibles, like if your son was going to go sell those video games, like you'd probably get better sales on eBay. Clothing, like used clothing, sells a little better on eBay. So there's some products that do better on eBay than Amazon. But like what I do, there's a feature that Amazon has. It's called multi-channel fulfillment. And actually as of this week, they updated it. And then now you can like automatically calculate the fees with this. But practically, if I send in like, let's say a pallet of video games into Amazon, so I send in like 1,000 units. And let's say I have my website or I have an eBay account, I can actually have my inventory stored into Amazon, create listings onto eBay or my website, and actually have Amazon fulfill to my customers onto eBay when I get sales. So like some people like to choose in between. sometimes eBay could be a good platform to even start off on because it's just like sometimes a little easier to get started because you have to put a lot of inventory into it. But yeah, anyway, long story short, eBay's definitely an underrated platform. I would say now it's still good.
Yep. Very cool. And this just popped in my head last minute. Is Facebook Marketplace, is that even comparable at all or not at all?
I would say it can be okay if you have a bunch of like leftover things or if you're trading items or like used things like that. Kind of like, I would say Facebook Marketplace is like a better Craigslist.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So.
Yep. Craigslist is funny because it's ugly to look at, but they make so much money. They're like making like a billion or a couple billion a year. I couldn't believe that.
Dang, that must just be off like their classified ads and things like that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's free to list on the Craigslist because they don't like you just.
It is in certain. It is in certain markets. In some markets, if you want to post jobs and stuff, there's a small fee. So they must crush it in those markets, you know.
Yeah, I think they haven't updated their site in probably like 10 years, but
it's super plain.
Probably just one guy who owns the site, you
know, Craig. Yeah. So, what are you focused on for the rest of 2020 and beyond? Like, what's next for you?
Yeah. So most important thing I'm really just focused on is kind of just improving on what I'm currently doing. So just doing a lot more volume, building a lot more relationships with suppliers. We're definitely not going to get it done this year, but we're working on quite a bit of actually like making acquisitions and acquiring like suppliers. Cause right now we buy from like middleman, which isn't a bad thing. People kind of get, you know, think that like buying from middleman, you're just getting way higher prices. Sometimes that's not always true, but we're working on like building up enough capital, like finding the right like distributor or middleman to actually buy out so we can start working directly with all the manufacturers and publishers and things like that. I hope to have that happen by 2021, the end of it. But besides that, just like focusing on what's already working, I definitely am hiring a lot more employees now. I was like a one-man show 2 years ago, and then I realized like we came across like a day, I was like, yeah, there's no way I can keep like doing this all myself. So finally have a pretty good team right now. So really kind of making that more efficient, but yeah, that's really about it.
So when you're not working on your actual Amazon business, what are the things that are people reaching out to you for? Are you doing coaching? You have courses?
Yeah. So I started a YouTube channel about 3 years ago. I saw a lot of misleading information in the eBay and Amazon space with people saying, you know, you can start up a drop shipping store tomorrow, make a bunch of money, and people doing arbitrage, all these things. So actually, just got up my phone, started to make some like YouTube videos, had no intentions to like sell a course or training or anything like that. I had a scholarship to Pepperdine University to run track and cross country because they still offered me a scholarship even though I got injured my senior year. So I was planning to run my business like on the side, do track and cross country. My goal was really to be a professional runner. So I wasn't, anyway, this YouTube thing was like a side thing I did. And then I guess because I kind of just said it how it is on YouTube and kind of called out some people's business models, things like that. People like got, you know, I got some attention pretty quickly. And people wanted me to like coach them. I'm like, I'm not really looking to coach anybody. Just let me know what other videos do you want to know about selling Amazon or eBay. So I'd make some new videos and people are like, I'm, you know, paying $6,000 for this coaching program. Or like I put $10,000 into some product from China and I got nothing. Like what you're saying makes a bunch of sense. I was like, okay. So after like quite a few requests, I actually took on a few clients one-on-one. I was like, I don't know if people would even want to pay for me to listen. I remember like the first consulting thing I did was like $100 for like 4 hours of mine. I was like, I don't know. I just wanted to see how it was going. But yeah, so then I realized, like, okay, you know, people definitely want to learn from me, but then like, I definitely need to like make this scalable. Like how can I like coach more people or like teach more people by like, you know, not working with everyone one-on-one. So that's actually came out with a course back in 2017, which got over 4,000 members in that course now. But yeah, so anyway, I have a bunch of content on YouTube. So if people want to learn more about like doing it, you can definitely check out my YouTube. And then I have courses and also a book that I just came out with that actually on, if you go on Amazon and type in how to sell on Amazon, my book actually pops up number one. So,
nice.
But yeah.
Very nice. Along those lines, if somebody watching or listening would like to learn more about you or what you're doing or contact you, how can they do so?
Yeah. So I have my website. It's beaucrable.com. It's BEAUCRABILL.com. If you want to, I have a couple of Facebook groups as well, but like my most type of like educating content is definitely on YouTube. It's just my youtube.com/my name. But that would be the best way to contact. And also I'm on Facebook and all that good stuff.
Awesome, man. Well, really appreciate your time today. Loved having you on the show and love the value that you've given us as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Jason.
Yep. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Intentionally Inspirational Podcast. I'd also like to once again thank my guest, Bo Crable, for joining me. Please be sure to check out the show notes for this episode by going to intentionallyinspirational.com/episode197, and you may use this format for any past and future shows with guests as well. That's all the time we have for today's episode, so thanks for hanging out with me for a little bit today. I hope you subscribe to the podcast, check it out on YouTube if you haven't and don't already, so you can always be among the first to know when a new show goes live. Till next time, this is your host, Jason Wright, signing off on another episode of the Intentionally Inspirational Podcast. Talk to you again soon.